All right, our reading will be taken from Genesis chapter 9, starting at verse number 20. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, Noah, a man of the soil, was the first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine and became drunk. And he lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Cana, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, walked backward, and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Amen. Now, I want you to put down your Bible or your device, and I want you to just lift your hands up to the sky and look up with me. See, you ain't got to look at nobody, but look up to the Lord and repeat these words after me. Thank you, Lord, for covering me. Thank you, Lord, for covering me. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, Thank You, Lord, for Covering Me. There's a reality we have to face. There's something we all need to come to understand and realize. We all make mistakes. And in the process of making mistakes, the question that I pose to us all is, how do we deal with the mistakes that we see others make? Do we take the Ham approach and expose folk in their nakedness? Or do we take the Shem and Japheth approach to where we are covering them up? You know, as we look at this and as we understand this, because I want us to grab this, how could Ham want to expose his father's nakedness by humiliating him? Boy, that's what he thinks he's doing. Because he saw him in this state. And in seeing him in this state, why would he leave him that way? Go away and tell his brothers. Now, we have to remember, y'all, that back in chapter number 6, we read that Noah was a man who God showed favor. We talked about favor is available to all the children of God when we are willing to be in a right relationship with God. And we are walking with God. But in chapter 6, it specifically says that Noah was righteous and he was blameless in his generation and he walked with God. Which means that he had a relationship with the Father. So when the Father knew what he was about to do, he chose this man, Noah, to be the one to build the ark. But Mother Austin, I want you to know, he wasn't the only person who had to build. He had three sons and said, sons, come on, get with me. We got some work ahead of us. And I can look at Ham saying, why are we building this? Because if we building this, ain't none of that stuff going to come. It never happened before, Reverend Rose. So why should I expect something to change now? So while he was helping his father, I don't know how much resentment he had towards doing it. Then after they built the ark, he's like, we done. Come on, y'all. I need y'all to help me go gather these animals. Ham's looking at his brothers like, I don't know what's going on. Reverend Dabby saying, he tripping. I don't know what's going through daddy's mind, because he got us doing all this stuff, getting all these animals, putting us all on this ark. I don't know how long we're going to be on this ark. It don't make no kind of sense. And, you know, I don't understand, daddy, why we got to do this? It's God's will. And the whole time his father is doing this, he's being diligent. He is doing as the father is instructing him. The heavenly father is instructing Noah, and he's doing what he is instructed to do. He's got his sons to help him in the process. And now we see that he get all the animals on the ark, and then all of a sudden God seals it up. Ham is on it. I can't believe we on this ark. Digging booth with all these smelly animals, and we got to take care of them, and I don't know how long it's going to be. Daddy talking about it's going to rain for 40 days. That's what God told him. But how long we going to? It don't make no kind of sense. So they were on there roughly 150 days in total. And everything that Ham saw before the flood, when they got off the ark, Deacon Elwood, wasn't nothing there. Everything was new. And now, all his friends he knew, gone. All the stuff that he had that didn't make it onto the ark, gone. And here my father now. Now look, we got to start from scratch all over again. I truly believe that Ham was in some ways resentful towards his father. And since he was resentful towards his father, Deacon Jones, he was watching Daddy closely. Waiting for daddy to make a mistake. It's interesting how some folk just look at us and can't see all the good that we do. But they're just watching us, waiting for us to make a mistake. I see what you're talking. I see how you're walking. I knew you're walking to talk, but I'm still going to wait. Sister made me to see when you're going to make that mistake. Thank God folk have changed today. No? You mean to tell me there are folk who might even be sitting in church praising God, but waiting for when we see where we're going and what we're doing and all that's happening, but all we want to do is just sit and wait for the you see. This is the mindset of Ham. And when Ham saw his daddy, we have to see something here, because the scripture reminds us that Noah was a farmer. He's a man of the soil. And folk who are of the soil line, they farmers. Brother Red, he liked playing in it. I shouldn't say like playing, but he knew how to make stuff grow. I can play in the dirt, but I don't know if I can make stuff grow. But he wasn't playing in the dirt. He had a plan, and he said, you know what? Now that we're back and now that the ground is what it is, I'm going to plant me some grapes. You know, because then as he planted the grapes, Prince, I want you to know that as them grapes got good and plump, Brother Michael, what he was saying, you know what? It's been a while since I had a good glass of wine. That's how some folk in here feel right now. I could sure enough use a good glass of wine. You ain't going to hell for drinking a glass of wine. Let me go on to straighten that out. You ain't going to hell for drinking a glass of wine. Are you working with me? I might not be a drinker, but you ain't going to hell for drinking a glass of wine. So you ain't got to feel uptight or none of that. I'm just trying to tell you, you ain't going to hell and you're going to glass of wine. You got to understand that Noah was at work. He was diligent. diligent in his work and building this ark and getting on the ark and taking care of everything and then getting off the ark and waiting for all this stuff to grow. I want you to know a lot of time has passed and it's been a good while since he had a good sip of that Chardonnay. Ooh, I had to think of one of them. I just tell you how much of a drinker I am. Are you following what I'm saying? Or maybe he ain't had that Merlot. All right, I'm going to stop there because I'm going to mess up if I go any further. Because I'm about to mess up. I'm just going by stuff I heard. But ain't nothing wrong with a good glass of wine if that's what you like with your meal. Are you following me? So can I help you paint this picture? So when all these grapes, Deacon Allen's got ripe, he said, I'm going to go on and make me some wine. And as he made that wine, he had to wait for it to ferment. And some theologians believe that what he did was he had a little festival with the family. And they all came together and spent time together. Yeah, that all sounds nice, but the brother was in the tent by himself. So I believe that once that wine was ready, Didi, he poured himself a big glass. And once he poured that big glass of wine, Brother Phil, they say you're supposed to let wine breathe for a minute, swinging around. I just seen this stuff watching Food Network, you know, swinging around. Because I tried it. I went to an event with my wife and I'm like, yeah, give me a glass of wine. I had some. I took a sip of that stuff. I said, this is why I don't mess with it. Because that's just not me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But I ain't mad at you for taking a glass of wine. But what happened is he poured filled himself a big glass. And once he poured that big glass of wine, he said, it's been so long. He sniffed it. He guzzled that thing down the way I guzzled down a bottle of water. And after he drank that, there you go. That's exactly what he did. Ha! Oh, that was a good glass of wine, boy. If I got to say so myself, I put this stuff together. Walter, he said, and I know folks talk about what they can do. I know I just made some good wine. And he got so good to him, you know what he did? He poured him a. And then he might not have drank that one as fast because he said, you know, I drank the first one too fast. Boy, but when he tasted it, he got halfway through and said, I'm going to put it down for a second. Ah, that's some good stuff. Then he finished the glass. Now, Deacon Rosa, he's starting to feel a little light on his feet. And then all of a sudden, he had to pour himself another glass. And Sister Jennifer, you know, it's getting good to him now. So, because he ain't had it in a while. We got to understand the brother been under pressure for a long time. He's been swimming against the current. He had to persevere. He couldn't waver left or right. But now he says, I got a free moment. So let me go on and take another glass. So now he done had three glasses of wine. You know how some folk, when they start getting drunk, whoo, these clothes ain't getting hot on me. So I can see him now coming out of all his stuff. Ain't nobody in there but him, me, myself, and I. He there all by himself. But Deacon Pat, he went on and just poured himself a fourth glass. He already feeling tipsy. He done already got hot. He's sitting there naked, three quarters drunk. Pours that fourth glass. He takes that and takes it down. Now the brother is drunk as a, somebody done been there know what I'm talking about. Drunk as a skunk. And he said, whew, let me lay down for a second. Now, all of us have run across this. There have been folk, you run into a room and you see them in the room. You say, oh, they good and tired, they sleep. Then you see another folk. In a room, sleep. Stretched out. Excuse me, not you, but you follow what I'm saying? When you look at them, boy, you say, Lord, they done put a good one on. I don't know what they had. And then you get a little closer to them. They take a deep breath and they, oh yeah, I know what they've been doing. But Marilyn, he's by himself, just enjoying his wine. But then Ham, Jaham comes in. And when Ham looks at him, he was waiting to see his father make a mistake. So now that his father has made a mistake, Brother Botts, he said, I got him. I'm going to expose him. He looked at him and said, look at you, daddy. You just as drunk as a skunk. And I ain't like having that skunk on that ark with us, because every now and then it would throw that tail up and I'd take off. But no, you drunk as a skunk. Laughed at him and left up out the room. And the first thing he did was he can't wait to tell his brother. And when he told his brothers, he said, Shem and Japheth, I want y'all to know daddy is in his tent. He done put one on himself. He done got so drunk that he's laying up there asleep, drunk and naked. But I want you to know something. What he expected them to do was to run in there and see daddy. How he has humiliated himself. But I want you to know, they did just the opposite. Stand up with me, Reverend Rose. Reverend Dab, stay there. Grab that in for me. No, with that hand. Look that way with me. They walked. Come with me. Come with me. They walked into the tent. They did not want to expose their dad. So what they did is they walked backwards. So that they wouldn't see him. And when they saw his feet, they just... And once they covered him up, you know why they did that? Because they remembered. If God hadn't blessed our daddy, we'd be dead right now. But since God has blessed our daddy, utilized him to do all that he did, he could have just saved my daddy and nobody else, but he blessed my daddy. And when my daddy received his call, my daddy knew he was going to bring us with him. Why? Because our daddy loves us. And since our daddy loves us, he did what he did because he loves us. And now that he has made a mistake, we will not expose him, but we are going to cover him. Because I understand, if it had not been for the Lord who was there for us, we wouldn't be where we are right now. Because the Father showed him grace and mercy. Anybody in here know about grace and mercy? Anybody know how the Lord took you from a nothing and turned you into a something? He took you up out of those places where you ain't know which way was up. And he fixed your life up. You see, when I look at the brother called Noah, God is letting us know something. All of us have been drunk by the sin in our lives. And because of that sin in our lives, we got so drunk in it, it knocked us out. And by it knocking us out, we on our own couldn't get it right. And so since we couldn't get it right, what the Father did, the Heavenly Father did, is he looked at his son Jesus and said, son, I need you to go down there because they need a covering. Because on their own, they ain't gonna get it right. On their own, they're going to be lost in the sauce. On their own, they're going to destroy themselves. But I need you to be willing to go down and give them a covering. And so what Jesus did is he stepped down through 42 generations, came here on this earth, dwelt among us, and then don't you know that he went to the cross? And when he went to the cross, he took our multitude of sins to the cross. And don't you know they did us the biggest favor when they pierced his skin? Because once they pierced his skin, don't you know that blood came down? It's that blood that saves us, that blood that can heal us, that blood that delivers us, and that blood that covers us. I am so excited that the Lord has covered us. Because when we realized we couldn't fix it ourselves, we had to call on the name of Jesus. And when we called on his name, don't you know the Lord covers us? Anybody excited that God covered you? Anybody happy that the Lord has covered you? Are you ready to say thank you for your covering? Where would I be if it had not been for Jesus, who was there for me when I didn't know myself? I would be lost right now. That's why the people of God can be in church right now, praising his holy name. Because we know for a fact that we are. You see, through his covering, all the chains have been broken. Through his covering, we are able to be where we are right now. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. Hear this. There are folk who are in churches who what we call hoppers. You know what church hoppers are? Folk who hop here and hop there. You know why some folk leave church? Because when you was at church, whatever, and you made a mistake, you were expecting folk to. But when they saw you make a mistake, they were more concerned with exposing you rather than covering you. Now, I ain't talking about, you see somebody stealing something, you better tell somebody. You understand? I'm talking about when you do something to yourself that's going to implode on you. Rather than folk praying for you, they want to expose you. Pull, make sure there ain't no cover on you at all. Pull it right off. And they want to laugh. But you know the one thing that we don't do as a people of God? You see, because the truth be told, you know, one of the things that's really a good thing, but it's a detriment, called smartphones. In some ways, they're good, boy. Folk be recording everything. And in some cases, boy, they see you mess up. Oh, I got to get this on. Then they post it on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, wherever they at. I don't know what it's called, but you understand what I'm talking about. It's all about exposing you. Everybody want to have the next big story for TMZ. Everybody wants to do something to let somebody else know what others have done wrong. But you know what? I am so thankful that we have a God who shows all of us grace and mercy, because he knows that there's some stuff he could have easily exposed us on. But you know what the Lord decided to do to us? Rather than expose us, he decided to. You see, I am so excited that we serve a God who is about covering us up, and we've been covered in the blood of the Lamb, and we have been healed, delivered, and set free. I am so excited that no matter what you might think about me, I know I am covered. I know I don't dot all my I's and cross all my T's all the time, but I know that I am covered. I know sometimes I trip up, I slip up, but I can't forget, and I always remember that I am what? Covered. And I want you to understand, you ain't got to hop no more off any church, because you know what the Lord has done for you. You know where the Lord has brought you from, and now that he has you in a good place, I ain't going nowhere, because I fully understand now that I am. And now that you are covered, you don't ever come in church anymore and just sneak in and sit down and be quiet. You see, because you don't know what I've been through this week. You don't know what the Lord has healed and delivered me from. You don't know how he made a way out of no way. And the only reason why he made a way out of no way is because I am. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you understand you are covered, whenever you come in God's house, you don't act like it ain't no big thing. You come in this place excited and delighted. You are so tickled with what the Lord has done for you. You can't contain yourself. You ain't gonna sit there and act like nothing happened, because God has blessed you. I thank him for his grace and his mercy. He's covered me. He's blessed me. He's brought me a mighty long way. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Anybody in here covered by the blood of the Lamb? Covered by the one who has healed you? Covered by the one who made a way out of no way? Covered by the one who loves you more than you'll ever understand? Somebody ought to put their head back and say, hallelujah! I want you to turn to three people right now, give them a high five and say, I'm covered. I'm covered. When you understand that, my brothers and sisters, somebody needed to be reminded of that. You know why? Because you've been dealing with so many folk who all they want to talk about is what you did when you weren't covered. But I want you to know it gets deeper. Noah. All right, let me put it to you like this. Thank God we all are holy, but none of us are super holy. Super holy folk don't ever think they make mistakes. So thank God none of us are super holy. But just in case somebody was trying to edge that way, let me help you. You see, every one of us, when we learned how to walk, we used to do a whole lot of falling when we was babies. Right? But we learned how to fall. So since we learned how to fall, we ain't had no problem walking. But the problem is when we walk and think that I got to walk so down pat, Arlette, that I ain't gonna ever trip again, because I got every step. I know how to make my steps. I know how to walk. And I can talk while I'm walking. I can even chew gum while I'm walking. I can look all around while I'm walking. But my walk is so tight and so right that there's no way in the world that I will ever trip. But I want you to understand something. As long as you walk, I'm going to ask a question. Anybody here ever trip in their life? Anybody ever walk through their whole life and ain't never tripped? If you ain't never tripped, stand up, because we want to know who you is. You see, because what is that telling us? No matter how good you walk, everybody is in danger of tripping. And the same thing is true. No matter how holy you are, that doesn't mean that you don't ever make a... You see, so that's how come we are thankful that God has what? Covered us. And since we are covered, when we see somebody who has now been exposed because they made a mistake, we ain't going to focus on the mistake. We're going to help them get it right, because we want them to be... You see, ain't that what we ought to be about? Because we understand that it's not that you're not too holy. It's just that you just made a mistake. You had a moment of weakness. You had a moment of struggle. So you needed some help. And that's when you need somebody to come and say, can you help me? We got too many folk in our churches who are struggling with whatever's in their lives, but they're afraid to tell anybody because they're going to feel they're going to be on. Because history has told them, has showed them. You tell folk, they gonna tell. Don't that happen? So this is the reality. We ain't going to be like that here at BRBC. Here at BRBC, we're here to help folk to get covered. We want you to stay under your covering. Yes, you made a mistake and you feel that you're outside. But what we're telling you is they'll know you're still inside. But you know how we can tell them that? It's not how you talk to them. It's how you're able to look at them and smile. Rather than look at them and go, I know about them over there. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we will not alienate anybody in this church. Because you saw all the good that Noah had done. And all the brother wanted to do was enjoy some wine. But Carolyn, it got too good to him that he didn't know when to stop. Are you following what I'm saying? He made a mistake. Anybody in here not ever make a mistake before? Raise your hand. You know what's amazing? Ain't none of y'all raise your hand. You know what's amazing? I ain't raised mine either. You know why? Because we all. So the next time somebody comes to you and say, I need your help because I've made a. You got two choices. You can put the covering over them or you can. Oh, Lord, Mother Austin had it tight. She was like, you ain't getting my cover off me. I ain't mad at you. She said, I know I'm covered no matter what you say. I ain't letting it go. But that's what you got to remind yourself. I'm covered. You can't pull it off of me. Because if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive me of all unrighteousness. So I'm covered, so I don't care what you say about me. You got to understand. BRBC, God is taking us places. God is elevating us. We ain't on the first floor no more. We ain't on the second floor no more. Lord knows, I don't know how high we've gone, but we're going higher and higher. And I want you to know the higher we get, the enemy's going to try to use all kinds of stuff to come up in here and trip us up, take our focus off what we are all about. But what we're going to let him know, I'm covered. I know for a fact God called me to make a difference. I know for a fact that I am in a good place. And since I am in a good place, I am at peace. And since I know I am at peace, I'm covered. So since we're covered, my brothers and sisters, I need to do this today. I need to see this today. I need to share this with you today. While we're here in this church, right now, is there somebody who has felt that I can't rely on folk? I can't reach out. I've been hurt. I've been burnt. I've been talked about. I've been had folk whisper about me when I walk by. But you just feel that it's just so hard for me, because it seems that every time I try to reach out to folk, somebody bites my hand. So what I've done is I built my own fort, dug a 10-foot moat around it, so can't nobody get but so close to me. And I want you to know, when people have those attitudes, it don't just happen overnight. It happened based on experiences, or how they see supposed Christians treating them. What we're going to do this day as a church, we have made a conscious decision to say we will not damage people, We will not hurt people, but we're going to help them, because we will remind them that they are. If you are willing to say, you know what, I'm going to help cover folk, because I know I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb, and I thank you, Lord, for covering me. If you are in agreement that you are going to now be somebody who covers folk rather than pull it off, I want you to rise to your feet.